Hello, it's Thursday, January 19th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Today we have as our special guest Mr. Hesham Talawi, who hosts something called Current Issues TV. This airs every Thursday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and he's had some of the most intriguing guests around over the last few months. People like Clay Douglas, Eric Huffschmidt, Henry Maykow, Mordecai Vanunu, former Congressman Paul Findlay. And, by the way, he's going to have Lisa and myself along with Michael Collins Piper on his show tonight. That's 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. And he just does a fantastic job there. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Hesham Talawi to Wing TV. How you doing, Hesham?
Welcome, Hesham.
Doing fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Before we get started, tell everyone the exact website that they can find your site at.
The program, as you had said, is on Thursday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Central Time. They can see it by logging on www.currentissues.tv, not .com, .tv.
All right, that's currentissues.tv. Now, Hesham, when we did the Wing TV 2005 Patriot and Alternative Media Awards, we gave you one for most controversial interview of the year. This was your interview with David Duke. And to preface this, a lot of people in the Patriot community are always yelling and harping about freedom of speech and freedom of the press, how we have to preserve this right. Yet, when someone like yourself exercises this right to free speech or freedom of the press, they get criticized for doing so, as you did with David Duke. Explain to everybody what you went through before this interview with David Duke.
Well, you know, it's hypocrisy in action, of course. But with David Duke, weeks when we announced that David will be on the show, we had received a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails basically telling us that we should not have him. This is going to destroy us. This is going to whatever reputation that we have built, that is going to take it away in one show. And, of course, I do believe in free speech. I don't care who wants to speak, I will put him on. As a matter of fact, Barry Chemish, who everybody knows who he is, he's one of the Jewish settlers leaders, and he writes a lot. I even invited him on the show, and he was surprised that I invited him. He said, "Did you see my website?" I said, "Yes, I know who you are." And he said, "You still want me on?" I said, "Definitely." So, and this is someone who killing Palestinians to him is just like a walk in the park. And yes, I'm willing to put anyone. Now, David Duke, we did receive a lot of emails, negative emails, and even from some Palestinians who thought that having David Duke will actually hurt the Palestinian cause. And I said, well, my main thing is free speech, and this man has the right to speak. So, but believe it or not, veteran Lisa, David interview, as of right now, it is the number one most watched for 2005, period.
Yeah.
And even after 6 months, I think we had him like 6 months ago, even after 6 months, it's still the most popular. People are seeing it. You know, people think it's controversial, but people are watching it. And the funny thing is, after the people, after they saw the interview, everybody was saying, hey, this is not the David Duke that we had, that we knew from the media. You know, mm-hmm. Of course, when they want to attack you, they attack you with all kinds of stuff. As a matter of fact, you know, my side, they called me, I'm a white supremacist. Believe that, a Palestinian being a white supremacist.
Hesham, of all the guests you've had on your show, and you've had so many now since it began, do you see any recurring themes in your discussions with these guests when it comes to the situation in the Middle East?
Well, the recurring scene is somebody is in control and not the people on the ground, not the people, not the government in the Middle East. They're basically going with the flow. It's a big tsunami, so to speak, and somebody is controlling the strength of that tsunami. And so it is not the people in the Middle East. Look what happened with this bombings in Tel Aviv. I think it was today.
Mm-hmm.
It's, of course, you know, so far, I mean, what I've heard is no one died, but there were some injuries. You know, any time we see something like this, the first question that I want to ask is, who is benefiting out of this?
That's right.
Right.
I don't know, you know, the only one, if you remember when Netanyahu had, he was elected the first time a few years back, there were two bombings that supposedly Hamas has done, and basically those two bombings in Tel Aviv is what put Netanyahu in the lead at that time.
Yeah, how convenient.
And I believe this is, whatever is happening, there's, I think it's two things for what happened today. Number one, if Hamas, of course, if they're stupid enough to do this, and they are, by the way, they are, I mean, they're probably 50-50 with the Fatah movement mm-hmm. In Palestine as far as the elections, which is, you know, coming up next week.
Yeah.
If they did this, this is going to put them back big time. And so I don't think they did it. I have not heard that they had taken responsibility for it. I really believe this is one of those kind of false flag operations that Israel and the Mossad are very notorious in conducting. So I really think what's going on in the Middle East, there are people who are strategizing and planning, and it is not the Palestinians, it is not the Arabs, and it's not the Muslims.
Well, speaking of breaking current events, today we heard on the radio that Osama bin Laden, even though he hasn't been photographed or he hasn't been heard from in over a year, all of a sudden now has reemerged. And he has said that there's quite possibly could be more terrorist strikes within the United States. Now, of course, we know that there's this impending war with Iran, and Dick Cheney has said that if there are any terrorist strikes in the United States, regardless of who is behind them, that the military, the Pentagon, has orders to strike Iran. So, Hesham, does it seem a little bit too convenient for you that all of a sudden the boogeyman, Osama bin Laden, has now made his emergence again?
You know, the saying that Bush kind of screwed it up when he said, fool me once, shame on me, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And of course he did not get it right. He kind of hit that one up. But I'm going to use that one. And they fooled us long enough with these tapes, with Osama bin Laden, and with these false flag operations that they have done. Now, do we have an attack coming to the United States? I think we probably do, but it's not going to be from Al-Qaeda. It's going to be like 9-1-1. It's going to be a false flag operation to get the United States back in the saddle and back hitting towards Iran and Syria. This is what this whole thing is all about. You know, we have Iran that has, and by the way, what the Iranians have done is not something that is against the law. They want to enrich uranium for peaceful purposes. They can. At least Iran has signed the non-proliferation, the nuclear non-proliferation treaty.
That's right.
And they have, under that treaty, they have every right to enrich uranium for peaceful purposes.
Right, for energy purposes.
And Iran is saying, look, we don't want to use all our gas and all our natural resources. We have this other source of energy that we want to use it for, and no one is going to stop it. But of course, you know, with Israel, you know, Israel has nuclear bombs. The United States has nuclear bombs and used it, actually. The United States has used nuclear power even in Iraq, you know, with the depleted uranium shells. So, I mean, a nuclear bomb is not something that you throw on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. A nuclear bomb can be in, or a nuclear bullet, actually. You know, you can, with the technology today, it does not have to destroy a whole city, but it will go through an apartment building or a tank, just like you a hot knife cutting butter.
Hesham, from where we sit, we see Israel as being an instigator of this upcoming potential conflict with Iran, where they're making claims that if the United States doesn't go and attack Iran by March or the end of March, they're going to take matters into their own hands. Yet we also see conflicting reports saying they're not going to take any action against Iran. So what's the disinfo there?
You know, Israel, I believe, will attack Iran because not because Iran is going to have a nuclear bomb, but actually to prove and scare everybody off, to prove to the world that they are a superpower and to be contained with. Because if Israel hits Iran, then Iran cannot retaliate. Iran does not have the capability to retaliate against Israel. Israel will hit Iran, and the problem is going to go to the United Nations. It's going to be a ceasefire. It's going to be, but who's going to ultimately be the victorious in this whole thing is Israel. Israel will be looked upon as the one with the big arm. We can hit Iran, and Iran cannot do anything because Iran does not have options when Israel hits them. Number one, Iran cannot use any, if they use any of their missiles, Israel has 200 nuclear bombs.
Right.
And so that's a big deterrent for the Iranians to even do anything against Israel.
Yeah. Well, let me
Iran
jump.
Never threatened Israel. You know, this thing with Ahmadinejad, when he said that Israel must be wiped off the map, he did not mean that he's going to go there and kill all the Israelis. All
right.
He meant is this, this Zionist state that was formed illegally, it can be corrected. We can correct history and come up with a different type of state that would respect human life. We did that in Yugoslavia. We did that in Czechoslovakia. We did that in the Soviet Union. And these countries are wiped off the map, but the people are still there and actually in a much better condition.
Yeah. Let me reiterate
what the president of Iran had meant when he said Israel must be wiped off the map. Politically, he did not say physically.
Yeah.
Now, going back to what I was saying as far as the strategy of Israel, yeah, they are going to hit Iran, and they can do it, and they can get away with it because the situation in the world right now, of course, you know, we're going to have some countries who will condemn what Israel has done, but ultimately the goal is Israel can't hit anyone it wants, and no one can do anything about it. And that's what Israel, the strategy of Israel, the strategic value of that mission will be, just to show that we can do it. Not because Iran's going to have a nuclear bomb. Even if Iran's going to have a nuclear bomb, it's not going to. They can't do it for like 10 years.
Yeah, and I want to reiterate what you're saying, Hashem, is ever since late 2004, Israel has been stockpiling weapons supplied by the United States. These are both conventional and nuclear weapons. In anticipation of Iran, they completed this by June of 2005, and some of the things includes are 500 different bunker busters, plus quite a other assortment of weapons, all of them offensive in nature. But I want to get back to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He has this fiery rhetoric. You mentioned how he wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the map. People took that other ways. He also said that the Holocaust was a myth, and in the near future they're going to actually hold a Holocaust convention there or Holocaust investigation. What do you make of this man?
You know what? Is this man either the bravest man to come along in a long time, or he is crazy, or he is a Mossad agent, one of the three?
Yep.
I don't think, because what he's doing, I really hope that what he's doing is, if he is really sincere, then I hope he knows how to protect and defend himself and his country. Because remember, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a helicopter bombing, I mean not bombing, but a helicopter crash in Iran, where one of the highest ranking military people there in Iran died with other 14 officers, high ranking officers. And these officers were in a meeting. Basically, these were like the protectors of the nuclear program in Iran. And we know for a fact that teams of Mossad and CIA agents are in Iran, which is basically, you know, that the helicopter crash could have been a message to the rest of the Iranian leadership that we can get you even in your own house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because what he's doing, if he does not have the capability of facing this huge task that he has undertaking, then there's something else probably in the mix here, which makes me wonder why he's doing this. But let's just, for all intents and purposes, say that he's a brave man who wants to do the right thing. The Holocaust, you know, why is it that we are investigating everything? And you know what? I will be here. I will be the first one to say, yes, 6 million Jews died in Hitler gas chambers. I will go as far as saying that. But prove it to me. I agree with you. Just prove it to me.
I'm
now,
glad.
Why are we investigating everything else except the Holocaust?
I'm glad you brought that up.
As you are saying, that there is, what are you afraid of? If you
yeah.
have, you're saying 6 million people died, what are you afraid of having an investigation, an independent investigation, a scholarly investigation?
Yeah. Listen, Hashem.
We have seen that it was done by Germer, Zandel, we have David Irving, and all these three are in jail right now for even questioning, and all of them, all three of them, have done scholarly work on the Holocaust.
I'm glad you brought that up, Hesham. Regarding the Holocaust, people who question the official record of events are typically labeled, and there's a disturbing and dangerous trend toward criminalizing this type of questioning and discussion by people who are proponents of the official version of events. So regarding the Holocaust, if these facts on the record are so obvious, then why do they require the protection of the law?
Exactly. You know, right now, if you question anything that has to do with the Holocaust, now I did host a few of the revisionist historians, there was an institute, I forgot the name of it, you know, there's so many institutes, these think tanks, they have done a 2005 Holocaust deniers survey, and they have named who are the Holocaust deniers in each country. In the United States, they named four. Believe it or not, moi is one of them. And it's like... I think it was Sun Tomorrow, one of them. David Duke was the third one, and I forgot who the fourth one was. Probably you.
You know what? I think it's just a tactic that they use because they refuse to engage in a rational discussion, and it's foot stomping. That's what it's sanctimonious and self-righteous, and they're unprepared or ill-prepared to defend their points of view, and they feel uncomfortable that they're being challenged on their point of view.
Yeah, just like the government with 9/11. Now, Hesham, whenever we talk about this potential invasion of Iran, naturally the countries of China and Russia become part of the discussion, and we know that Russia and China has contracts with Iran for their oil. So my question is, if either the United States or Israel invades Iran, will China and Russia enter the fray?
Nope. China and Russia, and especially Russia, has promised the Arabs and the Muslims that they will stand by them, but when the you-know-what hits the fan, they basically turn around and run. Russia had, remember right before we invaded Iraq, Russia had a $40 billion contract with Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they did not do anything to help Saddam when the United States attacked Saddam. So Russia is talking the talk now, but when it comes to walking the walk, they will not be there to walk it. And the Chinese don't want to have a direct conflict with the United States right now, because I don't believe they are ready. But the Chinese are getting themselves ready, and in due time, I believe, with our stupidity, the Chinese will enter the fight. Not right now. It's too soon for the Chinese because they don't have the controls, especially in the economic market.
Economically, yeah.
Getting it. Especially in the where the world money is.
Right.
The Chinese, if they enter the war right now or the battle, they will not survive, but I think they are getting themselves in a good position financially, and at that time, once they have world control of some of the money in the world, then they will enter the war.
Well said.
Now, if we attack Iran, or if Israel attacks Iran, I really don't believe, I believe it's probably, and this is what this Bin Laden thing today that they came up with, this is to basically cover everything they want to get to put in our minds, again, the fear that there is something out there called terrorism that we have to kill.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to go after Iran, they're going to go after Syria under the same darn cover that the United States that the United States has used before. And the people are just listening to CNN, the Zionist newspaper, and Fox and all these people. And they're going to drum up the roll the drums just like they did before. And we're going to be stupid enough to go and do it.
Let me ask you this question.
To answer your question, no. Russia's not going to do anything, and the Chinese are not going to do anything.
You wrote an article in October of 2003 called David and Goliath, The War That's Yet to Come. And in it, you address a popular belief that Israel is an agent of America in the Middle East, and what you saw as a reversal in that relationship between Washington and the Zionist state, where you say the U.S. is an agent, The U.S. is an agent for Israel, and you said that it's an agent without a choice. you also said that we've been witnessing the roots or beginnings of a David versus Goliath war, an Israeli-American conflict on the horizon. Do you still see it that way?
Oh, definitely. And it's increasing because, you know, they do have control over, you know, I also said that the United States is like the Enterprise flying in space, and those at the helm are the ones that are basically flying it and or navigating it, and the rest of the body is swimming in darkness, which is the people of the United States. But eventually, the people of the United States are going to look outside and keep saying, well, wait a minute, you know, this is all nothing but darkness. We don't know where we're headed. And once they find out where we're headed, and that's what I call the Mavericks in another article, that the only way we're going to save the United States is by having enough Mavericks from within the government to see where the country is headed. Yes, definitely, Israel is controlling the United States politically and financially. It is not where we used to think that the United States, that Israel is the agent for the United States in the Middle East. That is not the case anymore. Now, the United States is the agent for Israel to basically help Israel become a superpower. And before you know it also, eventually, but I hope this eventual individuality will be soon, that people in the United States, such as you, such as I, such as all these people, the alternate media that are trying to bring the truth to people, they're going to figure out that, you know what, we are going down the drain. We are the strongest country. We are the best country in the world, and we want to keep it that way. We don't want to be going into all these wars because this will do nothing but hurt the United States. Yeah. So what Israel, in that way, uses the United States, number one, to become a superpower, number two, to reduce the power of the United States. So when there is a conflict between Israel and the United States, Israel will be basically ready to have the big fight with the United States.
And those are some very...
They have threatened, Israel has threatened that they can destroy every country, every city in Europe. They do have submarines. They got two of them last month, thanks to the new German counselor, whatever her name is. They gave two nuclear submarines to Israel. And it's not going to be long before Israel will be on the shores of the United States if there is a war. And yes, they can deliver some of these 200 nuclear bombs. Now, is this a likely scenario? Why not? Why not? If Israel, if the United States come to a point where they say, you know what, Israel is not our friend, Israel is our enemy. Of course, Israel is going to have, and right now, Israel probably cannot do it now, but they have enough political weight and enough in the world. Yes, they can have a conflict.
You know what? I don't think it even needs to come to that. I think if there comes a time when we refuse to help them out or we refuse to give them money even, they could turn around and
do
that.
And these are some very, very heavy words that Hesham just laid on everybody. I hope you're allowing these thoughts to go through your head. Now, Hesham, we got one last question for you, but we want to remind everybody tonight on Current Issues TV, that's www.currentissues.tv at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. Lisa and myself, along with Michael Collins Piper, will appear for the first hour on Hesham's show. And you have to tune in. He's doing some of the best work out there. So, real quickly, Hesham, we got about a minute left. The best case scenario and the worst case scenario for Iran.
I don't know if there's a best case scenario for Iran because they're not going to let them have this enrichment. The worst case scenario is not going to be a huge, big war. No, they're going to go bomb a couple of reactors and it's going to be the end of it. The Iranians will basically be quiet after that, and Israel will be victorious and seen on the world stage as a superpower.
I think you look at a little bit more
power right now, but it's only a matter of time before they become a superpower, and hitting Iran will make them a superpower.
Well, I hope you're right. I think you look at it a little bit more optimistically than we do.
I just want to say, folks, if you're listening to this, remember one thing. Truth is best established and defended through free and open education, discussion and debate.
That's right.
And one last thing, we can't afford to go to open up another front in Iran. We don't have the manpower. We can't do it. We can't even.
No kidding.
But we can't even secure Baghdad. So we're just going to go there, hit it, have Israel be seen as a superpower, and that's it.
Well, thanks a lot, Hesham. Keep up the great work. That's CurrentIssues.tv. Tomorrow we're going to have Mr. Ralph Epperson on our show. We'll be on Hesham's show tonight. Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
Hesham, you've guaranteed that I won't sleep tonight. Thanks.
We'll talk to you tonight. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Everybody, see you then.